Thank you, Jenny. We're going to have our two Bible readings now. First, Jenny's going to read from Isaiah, and then Liz from Luke chapter 5, which is the passage I'll be talking on.
The first reading is on page 690 in the Pew Bible, and that's Isaiah chapter 6, starting at the first verse. Page 690. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and that's on page 1032. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Jenny. You may remember we're in the middle now of a series of talks looking at the miracles of Jesus, and today we're looking at this one where there's this miraculous catch of fish. So many fish were caught that two boats were going to sink under their weight. Last week, for those of you who were here, we had Johnny Anderson talking, and he reminded us that we need a miracle to see Jesus as who he really is. And he used some optical illusions to help us understand that sometimes we don't always see things as they really are. So always one to reuse a good idea. I've got an optical illusion as well to try and illustrate some of the points I'm going to try to make in my talk this morning. So if we could have the the picture up. Now, it's a nice woodland scene, isn't it? I'm only going to leave this up for a few seconds because we're going to return to it from time to time during the talk. But if you look carefully, there are some animals hidden in the picture. Okay, can we take it down now, Peter? Thank you. Yeah, I don't want to spoil things too much. So every now and then we're going to put up the talk, put up the picture, and I want you to look for the animal, and if you can, raise your hand, and if you can describe one, I'll point it out to everyone else, and we'll see how many we can see as we go through the talk this morning. Why am I doing this? Well, because in our passage, there are a number of other things that are hidden in it that are perhaps surprises to us. Well, they were certainly surprises to me, so I'm going to assume you are going to be surprised by some of them as well. Right, what are we going to look at in this picture, in this story? It seems to be all about a catch of fish, doesn't it? And that's where our attention is drawn to. But actually, the first three verses are all about what Jesus is there for. He goes to the Sea of the Lake of Gennesaret, which is otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee, and there are so many people around him that he needs to get out onto a boat so that they can hear him speak. Earlier on in Luke's Gospel, we're told that Jesus had been around and he'd healed people. He'd healed so many people in one particular village that the villagers begged him to stay. And he said, no, I've got to go and preach the kingdom of heaven elsewhere. And that's why he'd gone to the Sea of Galilee to teach them. And presumably people had heard about Jesus, they'd heard he was a great teacher, and there were so many people there that Jesus needed to get out onto a boat. Anyway, that's what he's doing. The reason he's teaching is because preaching the kingdom of heaven is the most important thing in Jesus' life at the moment. We need to remember that. Anyway, Jesus has finished his teaching. He's borrowed one of the boats, the boat belonging to Simon. Simon's a disciple that we later know as Peter. And Simon's a fisherman. And Jesus tells Simon, go out into some deep water and then cast over your nets. And Simon, remember, Simon's the expert fisherman. He's been fishing all his life. His father was probably a fisherman before him. He's grown up knowing how to fish. He's the expert. Jesus is a teacher. Jesus is a carpenter. What does Jesus know about fishing? But Peter is patient. Simon is patient. He says, Master, it's interesting, isn't it? He calls Jesus Master. Master, we've been fishing all night and we caught nothing. But because you say so, we'll do as you ask. And he does. And they start to catch an amazing amount of fish. Now, can we have the picture back up, please, Peter? Now, can anyone see an animal in the picture? Oh, Julie's hand went up first. What can you see, Julie?
Well, I think it's a tiger.
A tiger. So, is it? Yeah. So you can see its head there, its ears, and its paws coming down the tree. And there's back going up as well. And there's its tail. So, yeah, there's a... Oh, Tessa can't see it. Hopefully you'll see some of the others. Okay, can you take it down again? Because I don't want you searching for too long. So the first surprise is what I've just said. Simon does what Jesus asks him to, even though Simon is the expert fisherman and Jesus isn't. Simon was starting to see something about Jesus. Maybe he was listening when Jesus was teaching. Maybe something struck Simon. So Simon does something that's a little bit surprising, even though he's been fishing all night. And they'd cleaned their nets. Luke tells us they were cleaning their nets. These nets were probably linen nets. And they used them at night because the fish couldn't see them. And the fish couldn't escape from them either. And that's perhaps why there were so many fish. They just couldn't escape. So they'd been cleaning their nets. So even though they cleaned their nets, Simon was the expert fisherman. He still did what Jesus asked him to. Okay, let's have the picture back up and see if we can see a second animal. Marion. There's an elephant. Okay, can you see it there? So here it's tusks, one there. There's its trunk going down the tree, and there's an eye there, and another eye there, and there's the top of its head. So there's an elephant hidden in the tree. Okay, thank you, Marion. So if we can take it down again. Yeah, absolutely. So when Jesus helped them catch the fish, The next surprise in the story is how Simon reacts. So they're hauling up all of these fish, an amazing amount of fish, so many fish that they have to call in James and John with a second boat to catch them, and still the fish, there's so many fish, the boats are going to sink. Simon's reply or response to Jesus slightly surprised me. He says, "Go away." Now, if it was me and I'd had this miraculous catch of fish, I think I would have said to Jesus, "See these buckets here, could you fill them with chips? And if you've got some vinegar as well, that would be fabulous. And a bit of newspaper to make some plates. Oh, and don't forget the salt." I think the last thing I would have said after seeing a miracle is, "Go away from me." But that is what Simon says. And Luke tells us why Simon says that. He says, "Because I'm a sinful man." So Simon has clearly recognized that he's sinful and Jesus isn't. He's seen something about Jesus that is special. And so he says, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus' response is the next surprise. So let's see if we can find another surprising animal in the picture. Okay, who's... Oh, no, hold on. Sean's hand went up first. I'm sorry? Ah, okay. So you mean here? Yeah, this one's a bit hard to see, isn't it? There's what looks to be an orangutan there. There's his face. And it's... Wait. We're doing one at a time. Don't spoil it. No, the orangutan is hard to see. It's easier to see on the computer screen, so we'll leave it up at the end. And if you want to see the animals more clearly, go and have a look on the computer screen. Okay, can we take that away now? Jesus' answer is as surprising as finding an orangutan in a tree. So remember, Simon said, "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." Now, we're mostly polite people, aren't we? If someone had said that sort of thing to us, we'd probably have said, "Oh, you're not really that bad." Or maybe if we're a bit less polite, we might say, "Well, yeah, but you're not as bad as Nick." But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't deny that Simon is a sinful man. Because Simon is. And so are we all. So we all need to recognize that we are sinful. And in our prayers to Jesus, recognize that we are sinful and he is not. But Jesus' surprising answer doesn't stop there. Because then he says, "Don't be afraid." And the next thing he does is offer Simon a job. He says, "Come and be one of my disciples. I want you to catch men." And he means women and boys and girls as well. But he's offering Peter a job. That's quite a surprise, isn't it? But what it tells us is that God works through sinful people. He accepts that we are sinful, even though he isn't. But he's got work for us to do, and he will use us just as we are. Okay, before we finish the story, we'll see if we can find a final animal. I'm not going to come to Ron because he blurted out an answer. Sorry? A sloth. Yes. Where's the sloth? Yes, here he is. He's climbing up the tree. So there's his head. There's an arm going around the tree there. And there's his bottom and his leg going there. And you can just about make out his tail. So there's a sloth in the tree as well. A surprising sloth in the tree. Okay, can we take the picture down now? So, the final surprise, well, maybe it isn't the final surprise, but the final surprise in the story is what Simon does next. Now remember, we've said that he's been a successful fisherman, probably been a fisherman all his life. He probably runs a small business because he's got partners. They both own their own boats. And they've just caught the most amazing catch of fish, probably more fish than they've ever caught in their lives before. And Jesus says to them, "Follow me, come and catch men." And Simon does just that. He leaves, if you remember the last verse in the passage that we had, it says they left everything. They left their boats, they left their families, They left the miraculous catch of fish behind and they followed Jesus. And the passage says they. So it probably means Simon and Andrew and James and John. The four fishermen left everything to follow Jesus. That's quite a surprise, isn't it? Just on the basis of a miraculous catch of fish, Simon recognized he was sinful, but Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Come with me and be fishers of men." Okay. We often think of Simon or Peter as a bit of a bumbling disciple, don't we? He always seems to get things wrong. He rushes in feet first. He blurts things out, not really understanding what he's saying. He's a little bit confused all the way through the Gospels about who Jesus really is and what Jesus had come to do. But in this particular story, Simon gets it all right, doesn't he? He first of all calls Jesus Master. He obeys Jesus when Jesus says, "Go and put your boat out and catch some fish." He recognizes he's sinful and Jesus isn't. And he's obedient again and follows Jesus. He becomes a disciple. So Simon is something of a hero in this particular story, isn't he? But that's not the point of the story. The miraculous catch of fish isn't the point of this particular story either. So it's quite surprising, isn't it, that we chose to put a miracle in our sermon series on Jesus' miracles when the miracle isn't the point of the story. So what is the point of this particular miracle? Do you remember when we started the series, we looked at one of the miracles in John's Gospel, and John doesn't call miracles miracles. He calls them signs because they point to something. And that's exactly what this miracle does. The miraculous catch of fish is pointing to Jesus' mission. If you remember at the beginning of the story, Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And he finishes up by saying to Peter, "Come and catch men." That's the point of this story. It's all about what Jesus' mission is, to catch people for the kingdom of heaven. And he called Simon and Andrew and James and John, and they followed and they were obedient. So there's a final surprise in this story. So can we have the picture up, see if we can find a fifth animal? I think Ron's already found it, haven't you? So where's the fifth animal?
I think there's an owl in front of the orangutan.
An owl in front of the... Well, down... Oops, that's the wrong one. Down here somewhere.
Everyone else is seeing the mouth. If you look up a little bit from where you are, to the right slightly, there's an owl. To the right slightly, there.
No, that's the orangutan.
I think that's an owl.
Ah, no, it's an orangutan. Can anyone else see an... Oh, Jenny... There's a toucan, absolutely right. There's a toucan up here. Can you see its bill? And there's its body. So there's a final surprise that's quite hard to see. So what's the final surprise? Can we take the picture down now? So we listen to me rather than look for animals. there's always a danger with using an illustration like that, isn't it? You're more interested in the picture than what I'm saying. So the final surprise is one that I can't really explain. Not fully. It's something that only you can explain for yourselves. You see, if you think about this miraculous catch of fish, Simon initially couldn't haul in all the fish himself. He needed help. So he got his brother Andrew to start off with. He helped him haul up, and they still couldn't manage. So they signaled James and John in the second boat. They came over, and between them, they did manage to get the fish up. So many fish, the boat was going to sink. Both boats were going to sink. Simon needed help to catch the miraculous fish, the miraculous catch of fish. And Simon needs help again to fulfill Jesus' request to catch people for the kingdom of heaven. Simon's not around anymore. But Jesus' mission didn't stop when Simon died and the apostles died. That mission carries on. So the question that Jesus asked Simon, "Come with me and be fishers of men," he's also asking each one of us, if we're believers, are we also going to fish for men? Now, it's tempting to think, that's not my job. I don't do that. I'm uncomfortable doing that. And anyway, we've just got Stuart. He's starting in a few weeks as our new minister. That's his job. He can do that. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's inviting all of us to be fishers of men. I want you to think about it in this way. I don't know how many people there are in church, probably 30 or 40 of us. If we were all to have a conversation with someone who's a non-believer this year, so we'd speak to, say, 40 people, and if just one of those believed, there'd be 41 people in our church. And if next year we had another conversation with us, and just two people believed the next year, and then we go on year after year with just doubling the number of new believers every year, do you know, in 33 years, everyone on planet Earth would have been spoken to and would believe if we all spoke to someone and just one of the people in the first year, and then it doubles year after year. Now, I know the maths is questionable, but in theory, it works. So there was a miraculous catch of fish. And what Jesus is asking us here is, if we are like Simon, if we're obedient to him, we follow his instructions. Remember, it was Jesus who created the miracle. Jesus made that miraculous catch of fish happen. But if we go out and be fishers of men too, will we have a miraculous catch for the kingdom of heaven? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that these miracles in Scripture are such wonderful stories. Oh, we're starting our song a bit early. We have technology gremlins sometimes. So, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these miracles in Scripture that are signposts to the kingdom of heaven. Help us to be enthusiastic for you. Help us to be brave, to become fishers of men, to win people for your kingdom in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right, hopefully now the technology will come when it's expected. We're going to have our final song. We're going to try to sing "How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet of Him Who Bring Good News." And the good news is the kingdom of heaven. Are we going to have those lovely feet that go on to the mountains? So do stand and sing "How Lovely on the Mountains Are the Feet."
Brings good news.
I should have started with some notices, I forgot. After the licensing service on Monday, a pair of glasses were found in the pews over there. So if you know of anyone who's lost a pair of glasses, we'll put them on the table in the middle there. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, another pair of glasses was found on a music stand at the front of church. So if you know of anyone who's lost these rather fetching brown half-moon glasses, they too will be on the table. And an umbrella was left in the village hall. And a rather fetching Waitrose bag was left at our house last Sunday. So if anyone has a missing Waitrose bag, that too will be on the table. There's all the notices that I had, lots of lost property, but let me close our service this morning, first of all with a reminder that there's going to be tea and coffee, but finally with the prayer for mission, which I think is appropriate given we've just heard about Jesus' mission. Almighty God, you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, and have taught us that salvation is in no one else. Grant that as we and all your people rejoice in his comfort, love, and peace, we may make known to people of all nations the good news of forgiveness of sins through faith in his name. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Amen.